Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Montel Weekly Podcast, bringing you energy matters in an informal setting. In today's pod, we discuss Picasso, not the controversial Spanish painter, but the pan-EU balancing platform that TSOs across the 27 bloc are obliged to join. Recently, Italy experienced some serious issues. What happened, and why did the country's TSO Turner leave the Picasso platform? And with other countries delaying participation, what is the wider impact of the mechanism? My name is Richard Sverrison, and today I'm joined by my good colleague Alina Trabattoni, who's Italy correspondent for Montel. A warm welcome to you, Alina.
Thank you.
And also by Simon Rempis of the TSO Transnet BW. A warm welcome to you, Simon.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to start off by talking a little bit about the background. What is Picasso, and why is it important?
Well, first of all, maybe I'll start with providing a little bit of background about myself and the company I'm working for. So I'm Simon, working for Transnet BW. We are a transmission system operator responsible for the operation of the transmission system in a part of Germany, actually the southwestern part of Germany. We're the smallest of the four German transmission system operators, but we are located quite in the center of Europe. So we also consider the, transit of energy and also keeping European energy markets together as part of our mission. And in this role, we are also operating the Picasso platform, which aims to create a common European domestic market for balancing energy from automatically activated reserves. So basically, we are aiming to connect the European markets for AFR with each other. And by this, of course, increasing the efficiency of the whole European energy system and also supporting the energy transition.
When you said VAR, what do you mean by that? Can you explain what kind of timescale we're talking here, Simon?
So transmission system operators are not only responsible for the transport of energy from the consumer to the or from the producer to the consumer, but they are also responsible for keeping the system in balance. And by this, of course, also ensuring that we observe a constant frequency of roughly 50 hertz in the network. In doing so, we can use multiple tools. The most important tool is balancing energy that we can activate. There are different types of balancing energy or different qualities. There are manually activated reserves, which are nowadays activated also on a market-based approach in the MFR market, but there are also automatically activated reserves. And those automatically activated reserves are necessary to compensate fast fluctuations in the energy production or consumption. And historically, each TSO in Europe has been locally responsible for keeping its own system in balance using only its local reserves. Of course, this has led to various inefficiencies. So on the one hand, it happened quite frequently that one TSO activated upward reserves while a neighboring TSO activated downward reserves, both in a very costly way, whereas there was a possibility to simply perform netting of those imbalances by transporting the power surplus from one control area to the other. On the other hand, each TSO was, of course, only accessing its local reserves, which, of course, is also not very efficient. And for this reason, the Electricity Balancing Guideline has requested TSOs to create so-called balancing platforms in which those local markets are connected with each other. And on the one hand, those imbalances are netted so that only an overall imbalance requires the actual activation of reserves. And the reserves that are needed to cover those remaining imbalances are also then activated based on a so-called common merit order list. So basically, via this, we ensure that the most economically feasible reserves are used across Europe to cover the remaining imbalances. And I'd like to highlight here that those balancing platforms are jointly implemented by all European TSOs. So it's a very good example of the cooperation between European TSOs. The European TSOs have created various balancing platforms. They've created a MARI project for the creation of platform for the exchange of manually activated reserves, and the Picasso platform for the exchange of automated reserves. And Reassurance and BW are the so-called common service provider, which is responsible for the technical implementation and technical operation of this Picasso platform. So basically, this means that the hardware and software, which is required to operate this Picasso platform, is running in our data centers. And also, we are responsible for the 24/7 monitoring of the Picasso platform.
So this is a pan-European balancing market mechanism, which is Picasso certainly is automatic. So it's an automatic response. It's a platform responding to you know, fluctuations in the grid and responding accordingly automatically rather than being mandated or manual. Okay, that's very interesting. When was it implemented, Simon?
So the Picasso platform itself started its operation in 2022. So the first TSOs joining the Picasso platform were the TSOs from the Czech Republic joining in June 2022, and then the Austrian and German TSOs followed soon after, also in June. And then, well, last year, Terna, the Italian TSO, has also joined the Picasso platform. It's also important to highlight that all TSOs have to join the Picasso platform. So it's basically an obligation for all European TSOs. The deadline for connection to the Picasso platform for all European TSOs is actually July 2024, even though there are, of course, still several technical but also regulatory hurdles to overcome for several TSOs to connect to this platform.
Well, look, Simon, but if I can turn to you, Alina, here, and there's been a little bit of turbulence in Italy. Could you describe some of the issues that you've been reporting about in the Italian balancing market?
Well, yes, you know, as we were saying, Italy is one of the first four nations to have joined, and everything seemed to go smoothly when the first three, the Czech Republic, Germany, and Austria, were on Picasso. But after Italy joined in July last year, Italy started experiencing some very high spikes and some very rigid drops in prices. And in fact, it's been the Italian trading community that has raised the alarm for Italy in terms of the effects of Picasso on prices. Because first of all, they say they are unable to forecast, they cannot work out exactly how Picasso settles prices. And they're exposed and they've become very vulnerable to these price spikes. And, you know, the result has been, you know, unexpected losses and so forth. So Italy has had a different experience of Picasso, I would say. And, you know, as we know, this has led to Terna having pulled out of Picasso last Friday on March the 15th after Italy's energy regulator closed an investigation into these price spikes. Mm.
So how do you view this, the fact that the Terna pulled out or pulled out from Picasso, Simon?
Well, there are multiple aspects to consider. So on the one hand, the Picasso platform, as already said, aims to increase the efficiency of the European market, and it aims to maximize social welfare. And we also can quantify this effect. So we have performed some assessments that clearly show that the Picasso platform already creates two efficiency gains with a value of several hundred million euros per year for all European countries participating in Picasso. Those efficiency gains are calculated or determined by considering both the consumer rents and the producer rents. And the Picasso platform algorithm is actually aiming to maximize this overall efficiency. We can clearly see that this works as intended. What a Picasso platform does not do is to aim to minimize prices. And therefore, of course, the Picasa platform can, I would say, lead to some redistribution effects between the producer and consumer side, which is also partially what we're seeing in the Italian market at the moment. But then on the other hand, it also needs to be considered that those markets that we are aiming to connect with each other are at the moment not completely, well, they are highly regulated markets. And the Italian market, I think, is a very good example for this, because on the Italian side, we have a so-called central dispatch model in which the balancing service providers do not place the bids directly on to the platform, but the bids which are sent to the Picasa platform are actually calculated by the respective TSO, in this case by Turner. Also, the, I would say, price formation in Italy is highly regulated. So we now see basically the consequence of connecting the Italian market, which has its very distinct rules, to a common European market, which works with slightly different harmonized rules. And on the other hand, we also have the effect that there's only limited, especially downward reserves available in Italy. The Picasa platform does not only aim to maximize the efficiency gains, but it also aims to increase the operational security. And therefore, the Picasa platform will always satisfy demands, or basically compensate for all imbalances regardless of the costs. And it happened actually quite frequently that imbalances in Italy were, well, could not have been compensated with the Italian reserves, which would have been available based on a price which is, I would say, subject to strong regulation. In those cases, the Picasa platform then automatically triggered the import of AFR from neighboring countries to Italy, which of course supports frequency quality across Europe. It supports the system security and system stability. But on the other hand, of course, it had some, I would say, remarkable effects on the price formation on the Italian market.
So if I could butt in there, but could you, I mean, is it more... These are more than just teething problems, then, if I understand you correctly. This is more to do with the structural... It's a structural issue of the way the Italian market then coexists with the other, the wider European one. And they can potentially expect some of these, as you call them, remarkable prices, or, you know, price spikes, basically, going forward.
Well, of course, there are multiple effects or ongoing developments which should solve this issue in the future. So on the one hand, of course, well, with more and more TSOs joining the Picasa platform, as it is expected for this year, based on the regulatory deadline, we will, of course, see less price spikes in the market, because we will get an overall longer merit order list, and therefore we will the situations in which the very expensive bids at the end of the merit order lists are activated should occur less frequently. On the other hand, TSOs have recently publicly consulted a proposal for an amendment to the regulatory background, to the so-called implementation framework and methodology for the price formation, in which multiple improvements of the price formation algorithm have been proposed, which should also mitigate those effects. And those proposals have now been submitted to Acer, and Acer will, of course, have the final say and make a decision on the implementation of those, or of those amendments. And given the approval by Acer, we will implement those changes to the algorithms this year, which will then, of course, also mitigate this price formation issues, which have led to such remarkable prices.
So do you expect then Turner to, I mean, there's only to be a temporary aspect that will pull out only temporarily and come back maybe later this year. What do you think after these algorithms are in place?
Well, that's further, on the one hand, this is the, our interpretation of the decision by the Italian regulator ARERA. So they've basically asked Turner to disconnect from the Picasso platform until the implementation of these mitigation actions or mitigation measures. Also, the EBGL is, of course, a binding document. So according to the electricity balancing guideline, all European TSOs have to connect to the Picasso platform. Therefore, we clearly consider the disconnection of Turner as a temporary measure until those evolutions that I've just mentioned have become effective.
And what's been the response in Italy, Alina? Why did it surprise the Italians so much? What are you hearing from your sources and your network?
Well, the recurring message that's coming through from people operating on the market, Simon and Richard, is that they're unable to forecast the price. They're unable to draw up any forecasts because they don't understand how Picasso settles prices. So, you know, the message I'm getting is that if this information were available, if the data sets, if the forecasting data sets and calculations were available to market players, then part of the problem could be solved. Because what they're seeing is, say, on a Monday morning at 9:45, there's a certain price, let's say plus 100. That's the preliminary price. The final price gets set the next day at 17:45. So not only are they unable to forecast the price, but they also have literally 2 days before the final price is confirmed. And that can be, that can actually go from plus 100 to minus 6,000 in some instances. So, you know, the exposure is massive and the losses are also very big. The losses, players, market players, traders have suffered are very big. The gains can also be potentially very big. But, you know, navigating in this sort of context is quite complicated.
So is providing that kind of transparency of data or making that available, is that potentially an issue here as well, Simon?
Of course, clearly the transparency of the data and of the way that the Picasso platform works is a very important factor. Due to the, I would say, nature of the AFR market, full, let's call it, forecastability of the prices will never be possible because, by definition, imbalances are not or cannot be forecasted. Therefore, the Picasso platform works in a reactive way. But clearly, there is, so BSTSOs are also aiming to improve the transparency level of the Picasso platform and of the exchange of AFR. We also had, I would say, some kind of a learning curve with regards to the connection of a central dispatch model, as we see in the Italian market, with the common European domestic market for balancing energy, and what this and the additional challenges that are created by this, I would say, very distinct task with regards to transparency. So we were, of course, informed and became aware after a while that due to the very distinct design of the Italian market, some data which is available to market participants in all other European markets are not clearly visible to market participants in Italy. This especially referring on the bid information that is forwarded from the Italian system operator Turner to the Picasso platform, which is, of course, not identical to the information that is forwarded from the balancing service providers to Turner. And those challenges, of course, are to be addressed. And we are currently addressing them within the Picasso project, and we are aiming to increase the level of transparency. And, of course, we are aiming to provide market participants all the information which is necessary to get a good insight in the market, of course, in a non-discriminatory way. As already said, this will never lead to the full forecastability of broad prices because this is simply not possible in the due to the nature of the AFR market. But we have clearly understood the message that the level of transparency needs to be increased.
And that's something that you could see putting in place this year?
Clearly, yes.
Yep. Okay. That is very interesting, Simon. I think that's a move that will be very much welcomed by certainly market participants in Italy and beyond, for sure. Now, I think there's also, we are reporting, I know others are as well, I'm sure, about countries delaying the implementation of Picasso. Was that expected or has that come as a surprise to you, Simon?
Well, first of all, the information on the accession planning is regularly published on the so-called accession roadmaps that you can find on the N2E website. So whenever there's, new firm information on any delays available, we will publish this information on our website. So there's no, we do not have any expectation on further delays, which is not publicly available as well. On the other hand, we have to take into account that the connection of a TSO to the Picasso platform is a very complex project, both in terms of technical challenges as well as in terms of market design and regulatory challenges. Given the fact that many TSOs are now planning their accession in parallel to the implementation of those changes to the price determination algorithms that we've mentioned before, of course, this does not make this challenge any easier. So with, projects with this level of complexity and this high number of European TSOs that are actually affected by those changes, I think it is not completely unexpected that some delays can happen.
Mm, absolutely. Do you expect, to see any more of these issues that have plagued Turner and the Italian experience? Do you see that could these kind of issues could reappear, or will the modifications that you talked about will alter the situation to ensure that doesn't happen in the same way?
So first of all, in the target phase, when all European TSOs or almost all European TSOs are connected to the Picasso platform, we are clearly expecting to see less of these effects. Due to a more efficient market. Of course, every accession of a TSO to the platform changes the dynamics of the markets, and therefore in the intermediate time frame, certain, unexpected effects can happen, despite the TSOs putting a lot of effort in trying to forecast the evolution of the market after the accession of TSOs to Picasso. Nevertheless, of course, also with those mitigation actions and changes to the price determination that have been mentioned before, we, of course, are aiming to make such effects less likely. It also needs to be considered that most of the other European TSOs do not face these very specific challenges of having a central dispatch model connected to a European domestic market that has been created under different circumstances and with different market models in mind. So, of course, the Italian case is clearly one of the most, challenging accessions that we have to expect.
Absolutely. I think that's very clear. And I think, your responsibility, of course, as a TSO is to keep the lights on and maintain security of supply and not to prevent, obviously, price spikes or massive negative prices. But that's very clearly, because if the lights were to go out, all the fingers would point in your direction. So that's very clear, Simon. So in terms of next moves and kind of, the next public consultation, what changes are likely there?
So first of all, today I can only speak for Transit BW as common service provider of the Picasso platform, and of course also as TSO operating within the Picasso platform. I cannot speak for the Picasso platform as a whole or for all TSOs or even for other individual TSOs. Therefore, I also do not, I also really cannot inform you about any, further consultations or proposals that TSOs will make towards ASA, because this is a task that can only be made by all TSOs and not by individual TSOs like Transnet. At the moment, there are no ongoing consultations on changes to the regulatory background of the Picasa platform. There are also no consultations that we will launch within the next couple of days or weeks. But with regards to the future planning, I propose to, or I would like to refer to public stakeholder workshops and the electricity balancing stakeholder group in which all TSOs are informing about such developments.
Perfect. And Alina, can we expect more role for the Italians here as well?
Well, we're waiting to see the outcome of because obviously Terna pulling out is just a temporary measure. So, you know, Italy will also come up with its own, requests and explanations. But from my understanding as well, there are some conditions being requested by some of the TSOs across Europe, like the Belgian TSO has requested some conditions, and then the European regulator is considering them as well at the moment. I was actually curious, are you seeing any other European market that could operate in a similar way to Italy's in terms of, the central dispatching mechanism, Simon?
So there are also other TSOs that are applying a central dispatch model. So the first TSO that comes to my mind is PSE, the TSO of the Polish system. Of course, they might have a slightly different design. So I'm really not an expert in all the, I would say, different market designs, especially in terms of how central dispatch models work. Therefore, I do not know for sure if they will be facing the same challenges. But I would say the improvements that we're currently making to the platforms, and also the fact that more and more TSOs will join the Picasa platform, will of course increase the efficiency of the whole system, regardless of the market design.
And I think really just to round up there, I think the market participants would welcome modifications and also the increase of transparency on what's happening on the bids and on the balancing mechanism there. So I think, Simon, many thanks for finding the time to explain this to us. I know it's a very complex area. It's ever evolving, and for your clarifications are very, very welcome there. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me in the call.